Hi, and welcome to episode 23 of Subspace Communique's Life After Trek. I'm your host, Chris, or Captain Pike. With me, as always,
Charity, or Crewman Becky. Hi.
So tonight's episode is a little bit of a departure from the norm. We're speaking with Houston Huddleston, who's a part of the Enterprise D Restoration Project, Enterprise D Bridge Restoration Project, that many of you out there have probably heard about. But we get to talk in detail about the project, its origins, and what they plan to do with the bridge once it's up and running. Houston's had a lot of really great backers, including several stars from Next Generation and many of the cast and crew, including Ronald D. Moore, which is fantastic.
Pretty awesome.
That's pretty amazing. And we really enjoyed talking to Houston. We had the chance to meet him in Austin back in November during the Austin Comic Con, and got to know Houston, got to know the project, and it's something I think that all Trekkies and Trekkers or Trek fans or Trekkens, Spiner
everybody.
Fems.
Everybody.
Everybody can get behind. One thing else we wanted to mention was we got back from the Dallas Comic Con.
Sci-Fi
Expo. Fan days.
Sci-Fi Expo. Dallas Sci-Fi Expo.
There's so many names for that. Anyway, we just got back from that. Had a booth there for Bye Bye Robot, which this episode is brought to you by byebyerobot.com.
We need
all
a
your
jingle.
Star Trek fine art needs.
Yes.
All your Star Trek fine art needs.
From the future.
From the future.
Asterisk.
Anyway, the point of this is I wanted to say hi to Chip. He stopped by the booth and said he loves Life After Trek, and we wanted to say thanks for the awesome pictures he took of us and posted on the interwebs, and we dig them, and he did a fantastic job. So, hey, Chip.
Hi, Chip.
But anyway, we hope you guys enjoy this this episode. It's really interesting. Stay tuned. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. Tonight's special guest is the man behind the Enterprise D Restoration Project. We'd like to give a very special Life After Trek welcome to Houston Huddleston. Hey Houston, thanks for joining us.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Yeah, totally. I'm glad we could finally get this together. The folks out there don't know, but we have tried to do this interview for
A long time?
3-4 weeks? Something. A very long time. So I'm glad that we finally got everything in line and the stars aligned and it's happening.
It was all our fault though.
No, yeah, it totally was our fault. It wasn't Houston's fault. So
I might have sabotaged it and you didn't know it.
It's still our fault. But anyway, maybe you could give us a kind of a primer on the Enterprise D Bridge Restoration Project. Maybe how it started and kind of the genesis of it and how you initially got involved.
Well, I am a writer, and I was I've done television and some very poor films, and I was working out of L.A., and I was in a building that below me was a bunch of Paramount people, and I got to know them, and they were very nice people, and of course, I was just my tongue dragging on the floor, getting to see some of the stuff they had in blueprints and photos and anything Star Trek, and one day the main guy I knew was leaving, and I said, "Darn, I'll never get to turn my living room into the bridge of the Enterprise." And he said, "Be careful what you wish for." And then he took me to this warehouse, and there was this entire D bridge set, Enterprise D bridge set, sitting outside, had been sitting outside for 5 years. Mm. And the captain's chair had a big rip in the back of it, and there were these huge... the photos are all over our website and on our Facebook page our newstarship.com site. You can find these photos. But those are all the actual photos of when I first saw it, and I couldn't believe what I saw. And basically, it had been sitting outside for 5 years, and they, meaning Paramount or whoever, it was in... Just to set this up, this was during the whole takeover or sale or whatever it was between Viacom, Paramount, and CBS. So
gotcha.
things fell through the cracks that shouldn't have fallen through the cracks, and this entire bridge set was one of them. So basically, this was a display bridge that Paramount had built in the late 90s when they did the Star Trek Experience, and they did this tour in Hyde Park which later went to Germany, because the original, there is no original Enterprise D from Next Generation. That was blown up in the movie Generations.
Right.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So if you see that movie when the bridge is being blown up after they crash, that was the bridge that they used all those years.
Wow.
And
so they added the steps to it and then destroyed it.
Yes, they added the steps. They added some of those side panel stations on the sides. But the initial set was the set. Mm. And then they blew it up, destroyed it, and then they bulldozed it away so that they could clear the stage to make Voyager.
Gotcha.
And that's the way Hollywood usually works, unfortunately. And so this bridge is this durable fiberglass metal bridge that, if it hadn't been fiberglass and metal, it would not have survived 5 years outside. And I worked out a deal with the warehouse owners because they just left it there, you know.
Wow.
And so they were like, okay, we can't sell this. We can't sell it on eBay. It's, you know, it's not our rights. It's not our so-and-so. And so I just paid the shipping. But, again, to me it meant a hell of a lot, but I didn't know what I was going to do with it until I went to this last year's Las Vegas Star Trek convention, and I got to meet Ronald D. Moore, and I got to meet, I'd met Brandon Braga before, but I saw him again, and I met some of the other people I hadn't met, John DeLancey and all that, and I told them about this bridge that I had, and they were all, especially Ron D. Moore, Ronald Moore said, you have got to do something with this. This is a piece of history. You've got to say this. And so I was dreading it and trying to work out what I was going to do. And then I said, I'm going to save it myself. I'm going to do a Kickstarter. I'll turn it into a display piece. I'll turn it into a museum. We'll do something that, and then the guy it was a friend of mine. His name is Brian Wiega, is the guy who said, let's make all of the computers touchscreen interactive. And I said, can that be done? He says, hell yes, of course it can be done. And then I said, well, if we're going to do that, yeah, that's great as a simulator, but let's also make it completely educational. Because if you do that for that, why the hell not do it for something that actually means a damn, you know, educating people and teaching kids how to work a spaceship and learning about space and science and space travel and anything, history. So it's been 6 months later. We did our Kickstarter and Indiegogo, and we've raised $84,000 from fans alone. And we've got unbelievable amount of not just like 8,000 followers, but also we've got most of the creative team behind Next Generation, which blows my mind.
The first thing that I saw about the restoration project was something that Larry Nemechek posted on his Trekland blog, kind of showing the seats that you had and couple of the other pieces. Now, granted, you had everything else. That's just what was available to be shown.
Everything else was just propped up against sides of things and tarped up, and you know, so it wasn't that impressive. And it's very ugly in pieces, and it's very depressing. So until we get to move it into a giant soundstage and a warehouse where we can actually start building this, all we're doing right now are restoring the little pieces. It's the chairs, the computers, all of those, that center section, including Worf's station. We're not doing any of the ceiling or any of the floor or walls or any of that stuff until we get through all of the dimensions and make 3D models from the blueprints we have and figure out what we're doing, how we're doing it, how it can be done, all that stuff. Because you're talking about a few tons of metal and fiberglass and wood and all that. So, yeah, that's, people just say, well, is it finished yet? Well, no, it doesn't. I'd love for it to be, because we already got weddings booked for it, you know, sure. By the end of this year.
Oh, wow.
But, I would love for it to be finished, but A, we don't have a permanent location yet, and B, we don't have the warehouse that will give us free rent for a year. That's one of the main things we need. We need to find someone who, A, is a huge Trekkie or Trekker, and B is wealthy enough to be able to afford to give us, you know, a 50 by 50 foot section of his warehouse so we can build this over the next year.
So is this the bridge that was used? Because I know there were a couple floating around. Was this the bridge that was used for Star Trek the Exhibition?
I think so. Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And I know that they had, there was another bridge that was at the Museum for Television History or something like that. I'm not sure if that, if I'm remembering the right name.
I saw pictures of that. I saw a video of like an interview or a TV spot or something, and I saw photos of it. That wasn't really the bridge.
Okay.
That was a few chairs and a kind of half-assed wharf's panel, which wasn't really worth it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because it was even lower than the Vegas one, because the Vegas one, they lowered it by 2 feet so that they could be overly wheelchair conscious,
right?
Which to deal with I can't remember what it's called. I was going to say ASPCA. That's not it. It's for disabled.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
But they went overboard and they made it much more than they needed to do it. And ours is that way too, when they did the display. But with Herman Zimmerman and, you know, all the others we're dealing with, we're making it the right size.
Cause excellent.
The actual wooden wharfs, you know, the big brown wooden thing, which is actually fiberglass,
mm-hmm.
that is right. It was the wooden piece below it that goes behind the captain's chair that was the wrong height.
That always bugged me about the experience. I have to say, one of the things, and I loved the experience, and we know a lot of the people that worked there, and it was Mecca for Star Trek fans. Let's just throw that out there.
Wonderful people. Wonderful people.
Absolutely wonderful people. But the thing that kind of bothered me about that bridge was that Worf's arc, is what I call it, was lower than it should have been. So that's cool that you guys are working to correct that and make it much more accurate. Now, you said you were working with Herman Zimmerman. You've also been working with Doug Drexler too, right?
Yep. As I mentioned before we started this, I've got some news for you that I want to give you that it blows my mind. But as you know, we're called New Starship Foundation, and we're nonprofit, and it's a complete 501c3 or whatever that is called. It's completely nonprofit and all that. We needed to do our board of directors, and I was trying to think, who am I going to have on my board of directors? There's me. There's the guy I know who is going to be the secretary. There's my mother, who actually worked on a board at a church for 20 years, and I know she knows more about this than any of us. But what about the rest of us? And who else is going to be on the board? And so I thought, why the hell not start asking some of the Trek people, some of the original Trek people? And so I did, and so far they've all said yes.
That's fantastic.
So let me give you the lineup here, which just boggles my mind. We've got Rick Sternbach, who is, I own numerous books of his of doing the diagrams and the blueprints, and he created many of the details of guns and wall pieces, and just go down the list of what he's created. Andrew Probert, who created the actual ship of the Enterprise D, as well as he did the first drawing of the bridge and created most of the original conceptual art for Star Trek, for the movies and everything else. We've got Doug Drexler, who's just his resume is too long to list.
definitely.
But he let me see his Oscar, so that was awesome.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Let's see. There's. I was doing this list, and I said, you know, we're doing this thing, and I posted it on my Facebook, and I heard, and on the public Facebook, David Gerald said, ahem. And
that's
awesome. You know, I said, you were on my list, but I haven't met you yet. But, so I asked him, and David Gerald's now, and of course, brilliant writer of, among other things, creator of the Tribbles, but also worked in the original creation of Next Gen. Ronald D. Moore has agreed, and I'm also hoping for Naureen Shankar and Renee, I never can pronounce his Escavaris or something. I never can pronounce his last name properly. But those three guys wrote and produced pretty much the last half of the Next Generation TV show, those three guys. And, of course, Ronald D. Moore,
sure.
Battlestar Galactica, for God's sakes. And let's see, Richard Sternbach, Andrew Probert, Doug Drexler. Without things in my mind, it's hard to... But I've asked all the next-gen actors to be on the board as well as associate members so that they won't have to show up every bloody meeting. They can only show up what they want, but there'll be an input into the thing. Because we all want this to be right. And the only way this is going to be right is to have all the original guys, or as many as want to be involved... totally involved and letting us know, no, this is wrong. No, I like this better. This is great. This, how about this? You know, all that.
Man, that's totally cool.
That's amazing. Yeah. And to have that, that select group of people kind of being advisors as well for you guys is a step in the right direction and something that I think fans can absolutely, can appreciate. That's fantastic. So once you have the bridge completed, what's the plans for it? What are you planning on using it for? I know you mentioned, you know, as an educational piece, and on your website, you've mentioned Make-A-Wish Foundation, that kind of stuff. What other plans do you have for it?
Well, one more member of the board, Larry Nemechek.
Oh, yeah. Hey, yay, Larry.
How could I not do this thing without Larry? Larry's been so supportive. I just had to mention that because Larry's helped me just immensely in so many ways, and you know, I'm going to try to help him as many ways as I can for his upcoming documentary.
Yeah, he's like the godfather of Star Trek. Let's just throw that out there. Godfather,
exactly.
He brings every. He's like the consigliere of Star Trek. How's that? That's even better.
He and the Okudas are the wealth of information for all Star Trek.
Right. You know? Absolutely.
Anyway, back to your question. The main things, we're going to open it up. At the end of this year in Hollywood, in a soundstage or warehouse, wherever the hell we can open it, that will be safe and protected. And we're going to do all of the things that we promised on Kickstarter, which is to have a grand gala opening with star-studded this and that. With also, it won't be completely interactive by that point because we just don't have time.
Sure.
But it will be cosmetically as perfect as we can make it. And then we're going to be doing some weddings while it's all set up because it's a big deal to set it up. It's
a couple of days.
Yeah. It's a couple of days and a lot of guys and a crane and I don't know, God knows what else. Probably not a crane, but at least some forklifts. And then we're going to use that sort of as a proof of concept because we need to show not only our backers but future backers and big corporations and every other company and government facility and everything that we're trying to deal with to get funds to do this properly because the whole thing's going to be a few million easy.
Oh, yeah.
But we've got the seed money now from fans to get to the next step because without that, it would have been impossible. But our initial goal is by the middle of 2014 to have a at least semi-permanent location that we can have this set up and can do tours and can at least open it up to people to do fan films, no matter what it is. I mean, I have no restrictions on this except for porno, but that's already been done.
I was going to say, they kind of beat
that's
you guys
the only,
that.
Yeah, no, but everything else, I'll tell you, the day after the Big Bang Theory aired, the one where they all dressed up as Next Gen crew, it was a few weeks ago, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where they all go on the road trip. The very next day, I got an email on Twitter from the executive producer, co-creator of the show, asking me when the bridge was going to be finished.
Oh, that's fantastic.
No kidding. Wow,
that is fantastic.
Great. So obviously they want to use it on the show.
Yeah.
Well, I'm slow on math, but I figure that one out. You know?
That's so cool.
Yeah, Yeah, that was pretty amazing, and this is unique. It really is, and especially what we're doing with it has never been done. Back in the 90s, it couldn't be done. There was no such technology, and now Paramount sees it's an old show and it's whatever. They don't mind putting out the Blu-rays, but still, there's no such thing as an experience anymore in Vegas.
Right.
And
unfortunately, yeah.
We're kind of it, other than there's a traveling exhibit that I think is in Europe right now. But I'm open. There's so many opportunities and concepts that can be done once we have it together and in a safe place. We could expand upon it. I would love to have... We did a Q&A thing on our Facebook page, Enterprise Restoration page, and I asked people, what do you want to see? If we expanded upon our bridge, what else would you want to see? And they said, ready room, turbo lift, bathroom... which was oft discussed but never seen.
Right,
totally.
Right.
And 10 forward, and an observation room. The observation, it's where they had all the meetings. Right,
right. Right.
And then they said also the holodeck, and I said, well, we can't really, the technology is not quite there, but what we could do is have the holodeck, and you ask for the original Enterprise bridge, not A, bloody B, bloody C, bloody D, and the doors would open, and you would have the original series Kirk's bridge.
That would be
cool.
Doors.
That would be cool, yeah.
That would be really cool. Or Dixon Hill's office or something like that. That would be fantastic, yeah.
There's so many options, and these aren't really heavily expensive options once you have the space and once... you get to the next step, and it would blow people's minds. And the other thing we want to do is have a working bridge that's interactive, plus an interactive educational medical bay.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And have the EMH appear and talk to you and describe what future medicine is going to be like, and have Beverly Crusher appear on one of the screens and tell you how things and interactive and all that. I mean... I'm not even interested in medicine, and that would blow my mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
Absolutely.
Now, are you guys thinking that the, you know, final place for it would be like in Hollywood, or, you know, are you going to keep it in town, or are you thinking of another location?
Our initial idea was to make it as a traveling bridge, and that just was too impractical, and the bridge is too fragile to mm-hmm. do that. What we could do, and what we've actually been offered. I got an email from the president of I can't say what museum it was, but it's a very famous aerospace museum, asking, he said, hello, and I didn't contact this person, and he said, we're very interested in housing your Enterprise bridge. You know, please contact me. And,
that's awesome.
No kidding. That
is fantastic.
Wow.
We'd love to do that as a temporary exhibit, because until the point where we get our permanent home, why the hell not put it in another city and have it there for 6 months? Have it as long as they allow what we want to allow, which is the weddings, and, you know.
Yeah, and just letting people enjoy it. That's great.
It's really cool that
yeah.
you guys are going to do the wedding thing, because that was a big deal at the experience.
Yeah,
the fact
totally.
That that's going to be available again to fans is phenomenal. And it's something that fans will completely appreciate.
Yeah, I don't think there's been anything like that anywhere else. I want to specify CBS. I've been in touch with CBS since the beginning, because my biggest fear was I was getting a cease and desist letter.
Right, right.
But they are totally cool with what we're doing. They're as long as it's nonprofit, and we are nonprofit, so we're not pulling any cheap shots. And they only had two little requests for us to change, and we did. They didn't want any L cars on any of our shirts or this or that, and
right.
we're changing it on our website, and that was totally cool. And they said that make it so with the captain was copyright, and I said, you got it, we'll take that off. And they were cool with the weddings, they were cool with just basically everything else we've come up with, which boggles my mind again. Without paying a license, let me say.
Right.
We have not had to, because it's with by working with them, and because we do have all this amazing support on our side, they understand that this is their legacy. This is not just CBS, you know, CBS, Paramount, it's a money-making franchise, but Bill Shatner, and Bill Shatner's been on our side from the beginning. He was our first star celebrity supporter. And if this is all of their legacy, this is something that they can take their kids, grandkids, whatever, to and say, you know, and be proud of. So we would love for this to expand into the very first permanent housing of a Star Trek museum.
That would be fantastic. I mean, because there isn't anything anymore available to fans, that would be awesome. You guys could even do something similar to what they did at the experience with props and, you know, kind of the history of the future and that kind of thing. That would be awesome.
Definitely, definitely. And again, with Larry Nemechek and the Okudas on my side, you can't go wrong.
Yeah,
you know?
No kidding, no kidding. Now, you guys were actually able to use a few pieces from the discarded experience bridges too, right?
Yes, and let me just explain that because that's kind of interesting. I was, a friend of mine who lived in Vegas called me when they were destroying it all back in 2010, I think it was, and he said, you better come here quickly. They're doing a garage sale. Before they do their auction, they're doing this, I think it was early 2010, like February, March, something like that. And I quickly rushed. I took a bus, you know, to get to Vegas. It was pathetic, you know. And so I get there, and I used my press credentials to get in there before anyone else, and I reserved basically everything. I didn't know at this point that I was going to own the bridge.
Mm.
I've got to specify that.
Serendipity.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
I just knew that these were classic pieces that would be, I wanted to keep them all together, as many of them as I, and I got most of them. I got the comm chair and computer. I didn't get ops. Someone else had gotten that. I got Riker and Troy's chair and computers. And I got all of the wall panels, all of the computer panels, which were all made out of glass.
Mm.
And I got, what else? I think that was about it. But yeah, I've heard from people who said, my main reason for donating money to your thing is because you have pieces from the experience bridge, and I was glad of that, but that wasn't why I did it. I wasn't trying to pull something. It was cheaper and easier than and I got them. This is pathetic. I got the Riker and Troy's chair and their computers for $500 each.
Oh geez.
Oh wow.
Wow.
That's nobody so crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm glad that it's being saved, though.
Yeah, totally.
You know, we love Star Trek. We love the experience. But honestly, the experience is like, it's almost like a heartsick kind of feeling that fans have about it. And I'm glad that you're saving parts of it as well. And what's really cool for you guys, too, is that this wasn't the original Enterprise D bridge, because it wouldn't have lasted outside. The fact that the fact that it was made for, you know, the public to come through, you know, being made of steel and fiberglass and everything else, that's great, because it was able to be saved. So
it's not just that. If we had the original bridge, there is no way we could let people in there to sit in the chairs and to touch everything. We'd have to keep repainting and read so and so. These were made to pretty much last.
Yeah.
These were, there'll be scrapes. Yeah, we'll have to paint every now and then. But most of it's out of fiberglass and plexiglass, and that stuff, you know, you could pretty much take a sledgehammer to a lot of that stuff and it would stay, or maybe make a slight dent that you could repair. But there was a whole big thing in the beginning, because Sci-Fi Channel did a story about us saying it was the original bridge. Then all these people were saying, it's not the original bridge. It's, these people are saying that it's the original. Who cares? You know, they were all made by Herman Zimmerman,
right,
and Andy Probert and Michael Okuda oversaw the entire thing, and we're opening it up to the public, to anyone who wants to see it, and that's what counts.
Right.
Who cares if it's the screen used? You know, that's great if you're putting it in a museum and you want to raise up the money and put it up for auction. That's not what we're doing. And this is for people to enjoy and to be enriched and to grow and to be inspired by. You know, that's how I feel. I don't have a Star Trek prop in my possession, a screen-used Star Trek prop in my possession. And who cares? What I do have, I'm trying to make the absolute most out of.
That's awesome. That's great. Yeah, absolutely. No, that's perfect. So you do travel around to different conventions and kind of spread the word out about the restoration project. So what upcoming conventions can fans see you at?
Well, until about 2 days ago, we were going to be going to the Emerald City, but that's not happening, unfortunately, because wherever we go, we can't pay our own shipping for the chairs. Mm. That's the one stipulation to wherever we go, because we can't afford it. The money that we have is specifically to restore the bridge and to pay off creditors.
Sure.
Yeah. Totally.
Other than the money that we're using to just keep the day-to-day, if we have to make send out the T-shirts and, you know, all those bills that we've accumulated up to this point, the shipping of the actual bridge initially to my house, you know, that cost like $7,000.
Oh, wow.
It was a giant moving truck. It took a moving van and a half to bring the entire bridge. That's how huge
wow.
it is. So other than that, it looks like we're going to be going to the Vegas Con in August.
Okay.
The main Star Trek creation convention in August. And we're definitely going to be going to Space City Con in Houston.
Awesome.
Very cool.
And
that's
so
right
that
before.
Just,
that's right before.
It's like the week before.
Because we'll be there
yeah.
too. So mm-hmm. it's like.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we will. Yeah. So we'll be able to stop by and say hi. But yeah, I believe that is literally the weekend before Vegas.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. A whole lot of people are going to be there. Robert Picardo and Sylvester McCoy, Doctor Who.
Yeah, they've really got a big guest roster all of a sudden.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. It should be a good show.
Totally.
I think that we're going to MegaCon in Orlando, Florida
okay.
at the end of March. I believe we are.
Are you guys going to the Burbank one that's right away? Or
I think that's
this
weekend.
You know what,
we are. Is that this weekend?
We don't have a booth set up there, though.
Okay.
They didn't have more than one audience thing, like theater, to do their panels and all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
So
mm-hmm.
one of the pluses of going to these things is we get to speak on our panel and sell our, you know, wares, so to speak, tell people, spread the word about what we're doing and have T-shirts that people can donate $20 and they get a T-shirt, you know,
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff. And they were booked. They were totally booked. But we are showing up there and we've got people going around there. And I know all those people now. I mean, I've gotten to know Brent Spiner has been so supportive of us. He's an amazing guy. A lot of people don't get his sense of humor, and they think they're really, you know, sometimes, oh, wow. Because he's got this bizarre, brilliant, smart-ass sense of humor, and it took me a second, too, because I told him Herman Zimmerman was only on board because we were making the bridge like he'd made it, and Brent said, oh, okay, well, in that case, I'll only be on board if you make it like it was the experience. but no, he's great. And we'll also be at the Doctor Who convention at, it's the LAX Marriott. But unfortunately, that's sold out. But we'll be there, and this is a crazy weekend. Both are happening at the exact same time.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, David Gerald and Larry Nemechek are going back and forth from one con to the other the entire weekend, and I think that's the case with Chase Masterson and a couple other Trek actors and, you know, writers.
Wow.
Yeah, we're all really looking forward to this project and where it's going to lead. So how can fans get involved? Like if somebody wanted to donate to you guys or maybe volunteer to help you out. How can they get involved?
Start on our website, www.newstarship.com, newstarship.com. That should take you to not just our main video that explains everything and shows the photos of who's involved and all that stuff, but also there should be a store set up very soon, like within the next day or so. I don't know when this is airing, but that should be up there, and you can get a T-shirt for $20. We've got about four different styles now. We've got our main one that says, "Captain, I Saved the Bridge," and on the back it says, "Shut up, Wesley." And when I showed that, I think it was the one I met you guys at. Will Wheaton was there, correct?
Yeah, Austin. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I met Will Wheaton. I never met him before at that con, and I wore that shirt, and I was standing in front of him talking, and all he could see was the "Captain, I Saved the Bridge" on the front. And I said, "Oh, I want to show you something." I turn around, and I show him, "Shut up, Wesley." He fell out of his chair laughing. You know?
That's great.
And so I gave him one of the shirts. That was really cool. And some other stuff. But I honestly, right now, I'm not sure what we will be having in the next few weeks. The main thing that's a staying thing will be the T-shirts, because they don't break any Paramount CBS
gotcha.
Copyright.
Sure.
And that helps us, that helps support everything. There's one other thing we're doing that I'm pretty excited about. We don't have the specifics yet, but it's going to be the very first sci-fi music fest. It's going to be in Hollywood, and it's going to be probably the middle of this year, right around the middle of June or so. And I'm already talking to a lot of the Trek actors, as well as other sci-fi shows, because I know some people from Firefly, and I know some people from Babylon, and I've had contacts to the Battlestar Galactica people. We want, and it's co the money, half the money is going to us and half the money is going to Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Oh, that's great.
So Make-A-Wish Foundation is extremely excited about this. They want it to be an annual event. So we're trying to work all that stuff out. I really can't see that much more right now because it might blow the deals. But just think of it this way. Any of the people from any of those shows that you've heard sing, dance, play an instrument, perform, do poetry, whatever, those are the people we're asking. And anyone who's been to any major Trek cons will know who I'm talking about. And they're all, so far, every single person's been excited. I can't tell you two names. Tim Russ and Bob Picardo were both really knocked out.
Oh, very awesome. Cool. Very cool.
And a person with the initials WS. I'm dealing with their people. Actually, as of today, I was dealing with their people.
Oh, very cool, very
things.
Cool.
But that's going to be awesome. We're going to film that with three-camera shoot and then have the DVDs and the Blu-rays available.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Hopefully make it a yearly thing, which, you know, could be the coolest thing ever.
Now, if you can get Jonathan Frakes and his trombone... That
ah,
would
yeah, right.
You know, did he really play, though? Because nobody ever could tell me that.
Yeah, from what I understand, he did. I don't know to what extent he plays now, but in the show, that was, from what I understand, that was him playing. So.
Wow, okay. Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, you don't.
You know, really know. Picard played the flute, and was that really, you know, so, you know. you know, that's, I would say start at our newstarship.com, and then you've got our Facebook, which started our Facebook page started it all. All the people who go dissing Facebook, I had nothing bad to say about Facebook, because without Facebook, we would not be where we are. We've got almost 8,000 followers on there alone, and you know, that's helped us immensely. We've got a Twitter account. All that can be found from our newstarship.com is if anybody cares.
And they can get news updates there when you guys hit milestones and that kind of stuff, too. So.
Oh, heck yeah. We're very, very vocal, and, you know, our followers are very vocal to us, and I want that. This isn't some inclusive thing where, oh no, we can't. The only stuff I can't talk about is until something's in writing. That's the only stuff that I have to keep secret. But
sure, that makes
you know,
sense.
Everything else, I let everybody know In fact, I even tell them, okay, your money is going to this now because we need this and this and that. Because I don't have to do that, but I'd want somebody to do that with me if I had helped support. We had supporters, you know, into the thousands. Several people supported us and gave us money.
That's fantastic.
For tax deductible donations and all that. And hell yes, of course I'm going to tell them and keep them abreast of everything.
Yeah, we're definitely, like I said before, we're definitely looking forward to the results of this project. It'll be awesome for fans to get to experience the bridge again, not to use a pun there. But
yeah, right.
We're definitely stoked about it, and we're glad that we could interview you for this show and get more info about it and kind of let fans know a little bit more, if they don't already, what the project's about and where you guys are kind of heading with it. And we're glad that you could be with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I'm glad I got to meet you guys back at Austin. So.
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
But this would have never happened.
So everybody out there, go to newstarship.com to get the latest news and see how you can help out for the project. But yeah, Houston, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, and I love your items, I want to tell you. I saw your items before I ever got to know you guys.
So. That's great, yeah.
Designs and everything were just knockout.
That's fantastic. Awesome. Yeah, if anybody would like to see those items, that's buybuyrobot.com. Just throwing that out there. But anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So that was episode 23 of Subspace Communique's Life After Trek. And like we said before, we really dug talking to Houston about the Enterprise-D bridge restoration project. And if you would like to know more about it, you can go check it out at newstarship.com. Any support you can give them, I'm sure they would appreciate it. Buy a t-shirt, make a donation, because we definitely want this to happen. It'll be something that Star Trek fans can get behind, much like the experience. Not quite like the experience, but maybe a close second.
Yeah, so, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, so hopefully that will come together soon. So if you haven't been to our website, it's subspacecommunicate.com. We're also on the Facebook and the Twitters, facebook.com/subspacecoms and twitter.com/subspacecoms. And we're on Google Plus, but I still have no idea.
I set one
of
those
up,
but I don't know how to use it.
Yeah, I don't. Is anybody using Google Plus?
People friend us. I don't. I guess.
Anyway, some of the other folks we'd like to mention, as we do always, you want to check out Scott and Miles at the SciFiDinerPodcast.com, and of course Geek Fights, Damon and the guys and fantastic gals, and I guess it's fantastic guys and gals. Don't want to leave anybody out because they're all fantastic. Over at GeekFights.net. And, you know, of course, check out TrekCast. They're actually back in full swing again.
No way. Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because the new movie's coming up.
Ooh,
so fun. They're putting stuff out on a pretty regular basis. So David and Alicia and Darren and Alan and Damon.
Everybody.
I don't know if Damon
does he still
trivia for them anymore. Mm. I think he's too busy fighting the geek fight. But anyway, check it out, TrekCast.com. So like I said, that's our episode 23. We had a good time recording it, and Houston was a great guest. And check out newstarship.com. And also check out buybuyrobot.com.
Right.
For your fine art, Star Trekking fine art needs.
I love how you get all official sounding.
I know. I get all like stiff neck. Anyway, so check that out. That's what supports Subspace Communique. If you want us to do more stuff, buy our art.
Right. Good call.
So yes. Anyway,
I like that advice.
But that's episode 23, and thank you guys so much for listening. And until next time, live long and prosper. Didn't think I was going to get that out.
I know, right? No, it's a good pause, though.
Yeah.
I'm Audra Lee. See you next time on Kids Beat.